This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You can invite Dave Cohen in, that's fine. Although he is working for Newell later, so he's going to be kind of tired come 1 o'clock. So it's Thursday, May 29th, and as I understand it, it's going to rain on and off today, and some of the rain could be locally heavy, which means if you get caught in it, you could be subject or caught in some street flooding. And there could be ponding on the roadways, and I believe neutral ground parking has been approved through the end of today. So be aware of that. Otherwise, I don't know what to tell you. Just it might rain hard wherever you are, and if it does, do what you need to do. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Talk about President Trump's big, beautiful tax bill. Mike Johnson from Louisiana in the House, his big, beautiful tax bill, but the Senate, not so much. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about what's going on with this big, beautiful bill. And we can go back a little bit to the process so people understand the way it works and what happened in the House and now where it goes in the Senate and what happens from there.
Yeah. So as you said, the bill has passed through the House, but it is in the Senate now. And John Thune, Majority Leader of the Senate, is trying to figure out how to cobble together a coalition in the Senate. He has a couple of votes to spare. You only need a bare majority because this is done through budget reconciliation. But there are a couple of prominent detractors. The two most vocal at the moment are Senator Rand Paul and Senator Ron Johnson. So he can spare a couple of votes, not many, but it's a little bit of a different process in the Senate. And then there will have to be a different use of the word reconciliation, but there will have to be a reconciling of the House and Senate versions. They have to pass the same version, and then there will be a final version signed into law.
So, elephant in the room for the 8 or 9 people that text me on a regular basis, why should people care about this, and why should we view this as anything other than criticism of Donald Trump?
Well, you should care because it's going to affect how much you pay in taxes. The other reason you should care is you should care about the budget deficit. So as I click on over to the open tab, I have the total debt, total public debt, according to U.S. Treasury right now is $36,213 $1,853,751,952.05 as of the May 27th reading, according to the U.S. Treasury. That's a lot. That's pushed up U.S. Treasuries. The 10-year Treasury is creeping up towards 4.5%.
But what's interesting about that, Justin, if I might jump in for a second, what's interesting about that, I have a different site. I got usdebtclock.org open, which is not as reliable as Treasury. But the only point I wanted to make is the number you gave as of May 27th, that number has risen considerably because of the interest, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what happens is the total amount of money that we owe and that we pay out goes up as the interest rate on treasury bonds goes up. So as our credit rating goes down, as people become less confident in the debt, the amount of interest that bond that gets paid out on bonds goes up. The cost of financing the debt goes up. So depending on the numbers that you look at, we pay something like 16% of total federal outlays on just interest payments on the debt. And that's a lot. That sort of cuts into everything. That then pushes up interest rates on everything else. So, yeah, this is a lot.
So the one of the Republican senators that is not taken very kindly to the bill that the House passed from Wisconsin, I think he is, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, says that the goal of the House effort has been to pass one big, beautiful bill. It's rhetoric. It's false advertising. The goal should have been reduce average annual deficits. We have to focus on spending. Why didn't the House do that? I guess what I'm trying to ask is philosophically, and I'm trying to understand these days what a Republican is, what a Democrat is, because sometimes the roles seem reversed.
Tommy, your sound cut out there a little bit. Can you say that again?
Okay. What I was saying, Justin, is I quoted Ron Johnson saying that it was false advertising, that it shouldn't be a big, beautiful bill. It's false advertising and rhetoric. The goal should have been reduce average annual deficits. We have to focus on spending. And I guess my question is, how can there be such a difference when it comes to Republicans in the House and Senate and philosophies? Because I'm trying to figure out what a Republican is, what a Democrat is. And how can they see things so differently in the Senate than they do the House?
Yeah, so a couple of points on that. One is that it tends to be a little bit easier to pass nearly anything in the House because you have much stronger party discipline in the House. It's just easier for the Speaker to get anything done in the House. In the Senate, you still have a relatively high degree of agreement among Republicans, and you just have a few high-profile detractors. But senators tend to have a lot more independence because they are less dependent on party leadership. They're less dependent on party leadership for example, committee assignments, things like that. So they can do a lot more. So that's the first point. The second point is with respect to the underlying policy question and what Republicans want out of the bill. What most of them want out of the bill is a tax cut. And there are a couple of detractors who primarily want deficit reduction. But if you look at what tends to happen historically, so if you think back to 2017 and 2018, what happened was starting in 2017 and then finishing up in 2018, when President Trump had unified government, they put together tax cuts. You very rarely ever actually get deficit reduction. There have been a couple of times in modern history when we have had actual deficit reduction. You got that in 2011 after the 2010 election. And then we got balanced budgets during Clinton when he had divided government. But you don't tend to get deficit reduction during times of unified government. You get balanced budget, or rather at least deficit reduction, when you get that weird split of Republicans in Congress and a Democratic president. But when Republicans have unified government, they pass tax cuts. That's the priority.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I want to talk about the politics of this because you got, and I don't know if it's any different with President Trump than past presidents, but Mike Johnson from Louisiana, the Speaker of the House, tells the Senate not to meddle with it too much to make it possible to pass again through the House because it does have to go back to the House. President Trump over the weekend encouraging senators to make changes, saying it might be something he'd agree with. So I just wonder how the president manages all of this and how the Republican members of the House manage all of this without feeling as, okay, I'm going on this island for you, Mr. President, but don't leave me there because when you go to the Senate, you're gonna accept some changes. Now it comes back to the House, and I got to get this through the House, and it may not pass. So we'll talk about all that when we come back. 622 may happen with every president. I don't know. 622 traffic now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Professor, I like to get the audience involved, and a text pops up here. Everyone knows, always did, had to pass this bill in one part or two parts, secure the renewing tax cuts and border funding and energy production. Then this becomes the foundation, and they can fight over other stuff and window dressing, ratify DOGE improvements, and form the next election. No surprise. Thoughts on that text?
So the big challenge here is that the Republicans are constrained to use a process called budget reconciliation. And budget reconciliation allows the majority party to avoid filibusters because budget reconciliation cuts off debate automatically after a period of time. And if you only have a bare majority in the Senate, and the minority party isn't going to go along, you really can't do anything except budget reconciliation. So they really do have to fold everything they want into one budget reconciliation bill. So if there's anything that they can do that might get Democratic support, they can put that into other bills. But if they're going to do policies that will not get Democratic support, the only way to do that is to fold everything into one budget reconciliation.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Reconciliation bill simply based on the nature of the process and the strategic need to use a procedure that avoids a filibuster. That's just built into the process.
So it seems like the Republicans and the senators and the representatives pass each other in the hallways and maybe different buildings. But I guess what I'm trying to ask, Justin, is why wouldn't the president get the House leadership, the Senate leadership with this one big, beautiful bill and say, look, here's what we need. Get it done and then get it through. Why would there be the difference in the House and the Senate if the president is in control of all of this?
So He is in control in a broader sense, in the sense of setting a broad agenda, but he is not in control in the sense of writing the details. The president never writes the details of the bill. That's never been the case for any president for major legislation. He is in control in the sense that he sets the broad policy agenda, but then the details are written by the two chambers. And so what always happens, this is just built into the nature of the legislative process. The House writes its version of the bill. The Senate writes its version of the bill. They get different versions, and then the versions need to be reconciled into one version of the bill. And this is just how this is what happens with a bicameral legislature.
And the reason I asked that in the time we have left is that for people that think President Trump is a dictator, this actually kind of shows that he doesn't have the power that some people think he does, because it still comes down to the House and the Senate and representatives, and right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if he were a dictator, he'd just hand them one bill, they'd pass it in one fell swoop and be done with it. Yeah, that's true.
I just want to make that point. Thank you, sir. Jan Moeller joins us when we come back. We'll talk about student visa interviews. What is all that about? We'll find out with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, when we come back. 6:30, it's time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7. It's going to rain today. Then it's going to stop. Then it's going to rain. Then it's going to stop. It is raining hard right now downtown. You can't see the bridge from the Crest City Connection from the 8th floor here at Magazine and Poydras. And I understand it's raining very hard in mid-city as well. So, again, state law says, as well as common sense, if you got the windshield wipers on, you have to have the headlights on as well. So please take care of that. Before you text in, I'll tell people no flashers unless you're stopped. And keep in mind that it is in the forecast where they don't know really when the showers would park over you or train or cause some kind of street flooding. And, you know, the whole routine about they can drain an inch of water the first hour and a half an inch thereafter. But that's an average for the entire system. That doesn't mean that that's necessarily going to happen where you are. Bottom line, if the street's flooded, don't drive through it. We're going to talk with Jan Moeller now, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, about what President Trump's doing with student visa interviews and Harvard and all of that. And I didn't really pay a lot of attention to this because I don't go to Harvard and I didn't think it mattered to me. But that's why we have an excellent production staff here. And they realize that it does have some Louisiana implications. And that's why we invited Jan on. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Tommy.
Let's talk about what the Trump administration is doing with student visa interviews, because honestly, and I try to be honest with the audience and everybody else, this was not on my radar because I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to Harvard. I don't care. Let the Ivy Leaguers fight it out. But tell me why it matters.
Well, it matters for what Trump is doing, of course, is he's curtailing all student visa interviews before.
All right, well, we lost Jan Moeller, so let's take a second here, and we'll try to reconnect with him to talk about it. Meanwhile, I will tell you that it is raining here in the CBD, as I told you before. Jan Moeller, are you back with us or not?
I'm back.
Jan's
I don't know
back.
What happened.
All right, well, we're back. That's all that counts. So tell us about, first off, let me take a step back, and I'll start over with, what is a student visa?
Well, before you come to the United States to study, if you're in a foreign country, you need to get a visa. And that means you have to go to the U.S. Embassy in your country and you get an interview and you tell them who you are and why you want to come to the United States. And generally, those aren't too difficult to get. They do a rudimentary background check and they make sure you're a person of good character and you are who you say you are. Donald Trump is proposing to make that process a lot harder. He's proposing to pause it altogether, and then I think he wants to do a much more thorough check on anybody who wants to come. And the fear is, I think, this is not just going to affect Harvard, but universities in every state and every region of the country, because every university, including Louisiana, has about 6,000, almost 7,000 foreign students at our university. And if that number plummets, you're going to have short-term but also long-term damage to Louisiana's economy. These are students who come to the United States and usually pay full price to go to a Louisiana university, and a lot of them and contribute to the economy. Some of them go back to their country after they're done studying, but a lot of them end up staying here, creating jobs, becoming tax-paying, productive citizens. A lot of them start companies. And so if you do this, you know, you're not only going to cost these universities the revenue and the energy they get from these foreign students, but you're also going to, you know, you don't know how many future scientists and engineers that you're missing out on who could help the Louisiana economy.
So what are they looking at social media for? How would they go about vetting them?
Well, it's a little unclear what the vetting process would look like or how long it would take. But the idea is that they're going to be going through people's social media profiles and trying to exclude people who might have said something that the Trump administration doesn't necessarily agree with. And so the presumption is there would be a lot fewer students getting these visas, and it would be a lot harder to get these visas. And again, you know, I think one of the things that has kept America's economy the envy of the world is the energy that we get by being this beacon where the smartest, most energetic people in countries all over the world see an American education as the golden ticket and America as the place that they want to go. And if we lose that, we're going to have not just short-term losses, but enormous long-term losses from all the immigrants who aren't going to come here the right way and contribute to our economy, not just in the short term, but in the long term.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Jan Moeller about President Trump and the administration pausing student visas and trying to vet their social media accounts. And I guess I'm a little bit confused about this because I always thought that college campuses were the places for protests, right? I mean, going back to Vietnam, Kent State, all that stuff. So I don't understand this. I do know, also don't understand how I fully get how you got to protect Jewish students from being hassled, but I also think you have to protect gay students, you have to protect Republican students, you have to protect liberal students, conservative students. Nobody should be hassled by anybody because of their beliefs. So I don't know that you can single out one or the other for doing this or that when the protections need to apply to everybody, at least in my opinion. And the other thing that I wonder about with these student visas is that, and we'll talk to Jan about this when we come back, about attracting the best and brightest to the country. The United States was, look, unless you're a Native American, you came here from somewhere else, right? So it depends on at what point do you close the gate. Somebody texted in and said, Trump ran on America first. Harvard is now 27% foreigners. Are Harvard and other schools putting America first? Well, that goes to what's your definition of America first? Because if you can attract somebody from a foreign country that is the best and the brightest, well, then that would be putting America first, right? 6:52, 8 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL. The history of America is complicated. Somebody texted in and said, it's probably just me, although the smart and the brightest are taking over the country without firing a shot. Well, again, keep in mind when it comes to the history of the nation that the nation was taken over from Native Americans by those who did fire shots and disease and so forth. Jan Moeller's our guest, executive director of Invest in Louisiana, talking about the Trump administration pausing student visa interviews. Every action has a reaction. What effect would this have on Louisiana and the economy, Jan?
Well, we've already seen the number of foreign students at Louisiana universities go down So we're not quite at COVID levels yet, but we're down from where we were. Again, these are students who come here and pay full tuition at universities, which and out-of-state tuition. So they pay a lot more to study here than anybody who's from Louisiana. And so I think universities are going to start to see the effects. They're already seeing the effects. We have a declining student population overall. And again, when you're a student who's paying full freight, you know, generally these are students who come from, you know, they might have money and resources, and they've done a lot already to get the privilege to come to America and study. So I think we're already seeing a decline in foreign students. If they stop these interviews, then certainly we're going to see that number plummet. And so, and we talk all the time in Louisiana about out-migration and about our best and brightest leaving the state for places like Atlanta and Houston and Dallas and Washington, D.C. Here is a wonderful source of in-migration to the state that costs us nothing, that actually gains us hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for our universities, but just economic activity. Some of these folks stay. So I think this is a short-term problem for our universities, but a long-term problem for the state and for America as a whole if this country stops being seen as the place where the brightest people from around the world want to come and study. And again, even if you go back to your country, a lot of times people who come and study here leave with American values of freedom and American values that they take back home with them. So this has always been a net gain, and I'm disappointed that we're at this point.
Thank you, Jan. Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. My concern from a policy standpoint is this seems like you're going with a cannon to kill a fly. Let's target the people that are the problems and deal with it that way rather than just throwing a blanket over the entire thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.